This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Show. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. We're kicking off the second hour of the program. The number for you is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
We're going to go to more of your calls and thoughts. And then coming up, the federal government now saying that the decentralized cryptocurrency world, DeFi as it is called, decentralized finance, is a threat to national security. And we can talk about that. But, of course, your calls come first here. We've got Tim still on the line with us in Florida. Tim, you'd brought up this guy, RFK Jr. Is it Robert Kennedy? Is that what the RFK stands for, Fitzgerald?
I believe it's Robert Kennedy. I don't remember what the F stands for, but
yeah,
I'm not Fitzgerald.
He's running for president as a Democrat. He's challenging Joe Biden in the Democratic primary, apparently. And this guy kind of came onto my radar within the last couple of years as somebody from the left who was actually challenging the status quo around the whole COVID fanaticism. He is a COVID critic. He questions, you know, all of the BS coming out of the government on that one. As I understand it, I think he's been involved in some documentary work in that area as well. And you wanted to highlight the fact that this guy is now running for president, right, Tim?
Yeah, I thought that was extremely interesting.
Yeah, I it's hard to get too excited about him because I'm sure he's probably still a communist or a socialist or whatever if he's
right.
You know, running from the left. But I don't know the guy, right? Like, I don't want to jump to too many conclusions about him. I've just heard that that may be the case with him, so I don't know if libertarians need to get too excited about him. But if you are somebody who, as you were talking about, Jay, if you're in, like, a place like New Hampshire, and I don't know how many places are like New Hampshire in this way, where you can be what they call undeclared as a registered voter. So you're a registered voter, you're just not registered with the two major parties. You are, quote-unquote, undeclared, and so you can show up at any primary election in New Hampshire, and you can say, today I declare...
Actually, no, you got to stop. You have to do it 90 days before the primary. You have to change your...
That's not true.
It's not true? Nope. That was changed?
It's never been... In the whole time I've been here,
You
can walk.
Okay.
You can walk right into any primary, and you can tell the person if they check in, right? Like, they've got a checklist, and you say, I'm so-and-so, and I'd like to vote as a Democrat today. Or I'd like to vote as a Republican. So you can only pick one, but you can pick one side or the other.
I didn't think you could do that if you had voted previously.
Absolutely.
If you had voted previously for a Republican, and then the next time you go, you want a Democrat ballot. Because when I ran for state representative, there was a handful of people who couldn't get a Republican ballot because they were registered as Democrats,
right.
And they
so
wouldn't
what,
let them unenroll.
Yeah, so the thing is, there's a table on the way out. So if you go in and you declare as a whatever, Democrat, you declare as a Democrat, so you can vote for RFK Jr. in the primary. Don't leave the building before
right.
you undeclare again. If
right.
you leave the building, then yes, what you were talking about with the 90-day or 30-day, there's some sort of requirement in advance that you have to change your party back to undeclared. But you can literally do that on the same day in the same building as when you vote. So you cast your vote as the Democrat, you hand it to the guy that takes the ballot or put it in the machine or whatever, and then right there you say, I want to undeclare again, and then they go ahead and they mark it down and you're good to go.
Right, but if you show up there on primary day and you voted Republican, you got a Republican ballot last time, they won't let you have a Democrat ballot.
You're missing what I'm saying. you have to do the undeclared thing.
Previously. Yes,
and you can do it on the same day as when you vote. So that way you don't have to remember.
Right, but you can't do it like the morning that you, like, you're going to want to vote in a half an hour. You can't walk in and say, hey, I want to be unenrolled. You have to do that 90 days before if you were.
Which I'm telling you, you can do on the day you vote.
Yep.
Right?
That's
so
what
if
most
you,
people do.
If you go in, you cast your ballot, and then you say to the person at the end, I want to undeclare myself, then you're good to go for the next time.
Right.
And you don't have to remember to come back and go to the clerk's office.
What people do.
So that's what you got to remember to do. Otherwise, yes, you will run into the situation that you were describing. Tim, I mean, do you know much else about this RFK guy and what else he stands for? Is it just that he's good on COVID?
It was, you know, just that book. Up until then, I had never really heard of him before. Mm-hmm. And then I actually heard him on several interviews on the radio. And what I find interesting about him is he has so much to say, and yet his voice is so faint. I don't know if it's some kind of medical issue, but it sounds like he's had some sort of severe respiratory issue.
Well, the question really is going to be, is he going to run in New Hampshire? And the reason I ask that, and thank you, Tim, for bringing this to our attention. I appreciate the call tonight. And the reason I ask that is because the Democrats, we've discussed this in the last few months, they, at the behest of Joe Biden, have sort of decertified New Hampshire, basically. And what I mean by that is New Hampshire has what they call the first-in-the-nation primary, and they have this by law. It's actually a statute in New Hampshire that says that New Hampshire must be the first state of all 50 states to have a primary in the presidential election. So,
I know it would fix this problem. Just New Hampshire just get out of the union.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Problem
and
solved.
This may actually be a good time to recruit Democrats to support secession. The Democrats, that they basically feel like the Democratic Party has turned on them. And essentially they have. So what happened was Biden made this proposal, said New Hampshire and I think it's is it Iowa that does the caucus, the first caucus, I think it is. Anyway, there's the caucuses and there's the primaries, right? So Iowa, I think, goes first with caucuses, and then New Hampshire follows up with the first primary. And so Biden said, you guys, your demographics just don't represent America. Translation, New Hampshire's too white. Okay? So you don't represent America. Yeah. You don't represent the Democratic Party. You shouldn't be the first to decide who's going to be president. And so he put it in front of.
Don't let the successful people that figured out how to live, normal lives. Don't let them decide.
So he comes in front of the Democratic National Committee, which is like hundreds of people, in its size, and he makes this proposal. And they went with it. It took some time. It took like more than a year. They had to like debate it, and then they had to vote on it in the committee, and then the committee voted in favor of it almost unanimously. And then it went back to the full Democratic Committee or the full Democratic National Committee. I think it was the end of last year. It was like December. And they also voted. The only people who voted against the proposal were the representatives from New Hampshire and from Iowa.
Yeah.
And everybody else voted to support basically decertifying New Hampshire's primary election, because New Hampshire isn't going to change their first-in-the-nation status just to make the Democratic Party happy, especially not with Republicans running the state rep seats and the state Senate and the governor. So, like, the Democrats cannot change New Hampshire's law on that.
I don't really follow it that much, but I did. I saw this thing on WMRR the other day about the Democrats, and they were talking about us being the first primary in the country. And this one lady, I just got to mention this because I thought it was really funny, is that this one Democrat, I don't know who she is, she's some rep or something, but she had said, do you know what it's like to live on a dirt road and not have public water? Yes, it's a problem here. Like, she was trying to get...
That's part of the solution.
Yeah, I know. I was just, like, laughing. I'm like, whoa, the best, like, part of my life here in New Hampshire was on a dirt road, not with public water.
What was the point she was trying to make?
Trying to make it look like we're a poor state that needs federal funds or something. So she's trying to sway all the Democrats. And I thought it was, like, ridiculous. And, you know, they're you know, saying, and New Hampshire's too white. You know, like, what? Well, that's not the problem. It's not, it has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with any of that.
But
and we're too rich.
The Democrats are obsessed with race, right? A lot of these Democrats are obsessed with it. And so what they did was they voted to make South Carolina the first primary for the Democrats. And South Carolina is like third or something like that. It's like as far as the order of the way these things happen, or I think it happens, it happens after New Hampshire's primary. So basically, the Democratic National Committee has told the people of New Hampshire that your vote for president for the Democrats will not count. So what's going to happen, as I understand it, and if there's been any updates on this, feel free to call in and you know give us the update. But what will happen is if a candidate like RFK Jr. files in New Hampshire as a Democrat and actually runs, and gets on the ballot, he could win New Hampshire, right? Because he's a fairly well-known person, and not many other people are going to run against Biden, right? So it may he may be on the ballot, and it might be him versus Vermin Supreme, and you know a few
that
other
would be an awesome debate.
A few other oddball candidates.
I gotta say, RFK. Someone was talking about how he has a speech impediment or something like that. He sounds like this all the time, and I'm not trying to make fun of him. It's just like I'm trying to mimic
it. Stuff to deal with.
He is hard. He's hard to understand sometimes.
It's going to be kind of hard for him to debate.
So, well, anyway, what'll happen is if he runs in New Hampshire, they will basically say, okay, well, we're not going to count you as far as, like, normally what happens is when you win a state primary for president, you get what they call delegates that then go to the Democratic National Convention, and they vote for you in their little presidential voting thing. So you have to win more delegates than the other people, right? That's how that works. But they're basically going to say if you run in New Hampshire, you will get zero delegates. We are not going to count whoever it is that wins New Hampshire.
That's democracy.
Biden is not going to go on the ballot in New Hampshire.
It's actually good.
Yes, it's very good, actually.
Because it is just a blatant example of just all this taxation without representation.
Right. It's, this is a screw you it's to a, every Democrat in New Hampshire,
it's
basically.
Democracy. Democracy. Yeah.
But the question is RFK Jr. going to file in New Hampshire where he could get some attention? He could possibly win the New Hampshire vote, but then they will actually punish him by not giving him any of the delegates from New Hampshire in the national convention. So they will try to harm him from even potentially beating Biden if he comes here.
So does that mean there will be more Republican? Well, I know. So at that point, it isn't Republican versus
Republicans
Democrat,
are going
right?
to do their thing as normal. There's going to be, I don't know, a dozen of them running around the state just like usual. But it'll be interesting to see who bothers to run on the Democratic side. It may be barely anyone.
This really shows the colors of the Electoral College, right? Of having delegates. Delegates don't really matter. They're just going to pick who they want anyways.
That's right.
All these primaries are a sham, and they're probably already all fixed right
now. It's totally political. Yeah.
Back in like 2012, I was involved with the Massachusetts Republican Party a little bit because of Ron Paul. And what happened in Massachusetts, Dave Kopasz, for example, does a show called Red Pill Politics. He's on Facebook and YouTube. Anyways, Dave Kopasz was basically a Republican delegate, a Ron Paul delegate, and he had to sign an affidavit swearing that he would back Romney, I believe it was.
Come on.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's
what
it was.
Had to? Why? Why did he have to?
Or they were going to strip him of his delegate status.
Oh, I see.
So they won the lawsuit, actually, the New Hampshire, I'm sorry, Massachusetts LPA something, I can't remember. But anyways, Liberty something. They I believe they won the lawsuit later, you know, a year and a half after, you know, and there's been a lot of that has happened, especially with Ron Paul. That's the reason
this is the same kind of shenanigans just on the Democratic side, and maybe even a little bit worse.
Yeah, and it's good because it just exposes the system to anyone who's paying attention. The problem is we have our culture has, you know, basically been sort of overrun, especially in the city areas, of people who just have an inability to use logic and reasoning. And I really believe it's because of people having one of the big elements of this is easy dopamine hits from a very young age with respect to internet devices. Because if you look at the culture of the city urban liberal type that grew up in a city, all the cities have had basically high speed internet for nearly 20 years. Mm-hmm. So there's a study that was actually funded in part by the National Institute of Health, the NIH. It's called children's health in a digital age. I recommend downloading the PDF and printing out the 24-page study and reading it. And basically what they talk about is in that study is how when a young brain, a developing brain, like basically a 0 to 6-year-old, has an internet device in front of them, that the part of the brain that's getting stimulated is like the part of the brain that likes, you know, it's into sex, violence, and also the part of the brain that's stimulated by cocaine.
That's so base, man.
And the so like internet devices are have been proven to totally stimulate the same part of the brain much more dopamine is actually released than what cocaine does. So these guys are referring to internet devices as digital cocaine, electronic cocaine. And what happens is the frontal lobe, the reasoning and logic part of the brain, that is that develops. I have a 3-year-old and a 19-month-old right now, and I'm watching this happen with my kids. Do not use internet devices. And they're learning really well and developing, you know, very good. And but the kids who are just sitting there because mom and dad are using these internet devices as pacifiers and babysitters, that frontal lobe, the frontal cortex of the brain is actually getting wired. The neural pathways are basically being built to the part of the brain that's being excited, stimulated by an internet device. So this is why we have a whole subculture here in America now of people who have lack logic and reasoning, and it's these people that are attacking people for, like, just, you know, standing outside for being at a protest because they don't want their 5-year-old kindergarten kid in public school, you know, being suggested that he read books about, you know, sexual content. And that's what this radical left is really gone off the rails. And like all of the like people I talk to who are in New Hampshire here that I deal with that are like, you know, basically have been lifelong Democrats, they're disgusted with the Democratic Party. I was in a breakfast place this morning, and the lady who runs it, she's like a sort of a known Democrat, and she's like, nobody wants to work anymore. We can't get anyone to work. And she's like, the waitress we had this morning was in her 60s, and she's not a career waitress. And she's like, I'm just waitressing for the first time. But she's like, she's like, I'm bored being retired.
Sure.
And so she's like, I wanted to get an extra job.
Well, plus the Social Security money is going to get worse and worse as far as what it can buy. So you're going to see more, I think, older folks start to re-enter the workforce.
So their cook, their dishwasher was like 50-something years old. Wow. You know, the assistant cook is another older fellow. Even like the average American farmer, I think, is like 72 or 73 years old right now.
That's crazy.
And so none of these young people want to work. And now the real problem is internet devices are high speed everywhere in every end of America. When they talked about how, you know, heroin,
I think there's more to blame it on than just internet devices, well, but certainly that's, you know, that could be a factor.
There's a wicked illusion on all these video social media like YouTube. You know, this illusion that people like, you know, these people that give away money and stuff like that on the streets, and they record themselves, and they or they do like these, you know, sort of pranks and that sort of thing. People think that that's what you can do.
That's
and
how you can make a living.
Yeah, be an influencer.
Be a YouTuber.
You know, and it's not there. You know those people are selected. They're not like, they don't just rise to the top all the time. They're really selected to be brought up there.
We can come back to this topic here. I got Vernon on the line in Louisiana. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Vernon.
Hey, just a quick question. Yes, what? So I haven't been following things lately, I apologize, but when is your sentencing, and is that going to be available for us to listen to online or anything?
Unfortunately, federal court is not ever available for the most part to stream or anything like that. There was a time during COVID where they were streaming things, so they absolutely have the capability to do it, but generally they object to any kind of, there's actually a court rule that prohibits any kind of recording devices in the courtroom, so unfortunately the best we're going to be able to do is Joe is going to possibly maybe attend and draw some pictures.
Well, don't give me, that's not going to be the full emotion. To really see the emotion, you're going to have to go to Freedom Decrypted, and Penguin, we know him as.
Yeah.
He'll post a full write-out, probably.
But the head, the sentencing for the Crypto 6, in my case, is actually now pushed back. It was going to be April 14th. It's now been pushed back to June 29th. However, Aria's is still coming up this month. Hers, which has been pushed back many times, was originally going to be December, then January, then some other month. Now it's April 25th, and she believes it's actually going to go forward
And my attorney told me that it's actually really important to have people there. So anybody that can attend, that's if you're going to be in New England and you're willing to make the trip up to the federal courthouse in Concord to support ARIA, April 25th, it'll be at 10 a.m. And mine is also 10 a.m. on June 29th, which is like a few days after Porkfest at this point.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Are y'all going to be doing the campground thing this year?
It's our plan to do that. I don't know if I'll be able to attend. It's going to require some special permission from the courts. So, you know, we'll be working on that, but I can't make any guarantees. But, yeah, Free Talk Live was there last year, even though I wasn't there for it. So, yes.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you. Vernon, thanks for the call tonight, man.
Speaking of campground, talking about Pork Fest and Fork Fest.
Yeah.
I'm attempting to bring Man Camp back to Porkfest for the whole week. And,
was it only 1 year or two previously?
So we sort of did it two times. One time was a really big spread, and the other time was just a very little thing. Few people really you know, got to see what it was about. It was small, but basically, you know, we brought a bunch of stuff. While 1 year, what I want to do this year is I want to have one forge, two anvils, and basically four vices set up in a vices
tool. Hell yeah,
cool,
I'm down.
That will clamp, and I want to have kids and adults do some iron forging. And I got some simple projects picked out, and I can bring all the stuff. I got to buy safety gear. I got to buy equipment. So I'm trying to do a fundraiser. If you go to jaynoone.com, that's jaynoone.com, that's my website. There's some you can donate crypto now.
Nice.
I am being told I need to get away up there to people can donate just fiat dollars, because that's going to be sort of the easiest to raise. So I got to see.
It's the hardest for you because you don't have a bank account.
Right, right. So I got to see about setting up like a Give, Send, Go or something.
You'll have to have somebody you know with like a banking account.
Right, right.
Or whatever.
But yeah, so because I'm gonna have to convert some of this to dollars anyways, I gotta you know, probably buy nearly $2,000 just worth of equipment. I've been working on it, and some of the stuff's actually a lot more expensive than the last time I did it. You know, back in 2019.
Well, inflation.
Oh yeah, like things I bought back in 2019 for Man Camp are like triple and quadruple the money. You know,
yikes.
Like gloves and, you know, just protective gear and stuff. But if you want to see Man Camp at Pork Fest, I got a $5,000 goal. Yeah, that's a lot of money. But it's
this
you know,
be like every day though, right?
It'll be pretty much every day at Pork Fest. I'm going to hire a couple of guys that are basically professional blacksmiths that are going to help out. And Ernie Hancock's got a thing that he wants to run the forge a few times. Derek Slopey's got some stuff he would like to teach. He actually really wants to teach oxygen acetylene welding, which you can do at a campground. It doesn't require electricity, and it's quiet. So, yeah.
Cool. Check him out over at jaynoone, jaynoone.com. If you want to contribute to that, Ricky is on the line in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian, Brother Jay, Brother Joe.
Good What's on your mind tonight?
You?
Well, it's concerning your discussion with Brother Mark the other night about Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump.
Okay.
I love Brother Mark. I really do. And just like yourself, both of us, both of you, have been through a lot with Ricky from the Commonwealth. So I got to chime in on that.
All right, hang on, Ricky. We'll bring you back here in a moment talking about these presidential candidates, most of whom are scum of the earth, of course. And I don't know that much about this RFK Jr. I can't really comment on what
I like him.
What other things he believes. Yeah, but if he turns out to be a socialist otherwise,
right.
Then you're not going to like that. There's more coming up here, and you can share your thoughts. The number 603-283-6160 and bring up whatever you want here on Free Talk Live.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. The Biden administration is releasing reports on the 2021 withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Decisions made and the lack of planning done by the previous administration significantly limited options available to him.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says a summary largely blames former President Trump's administration for the problems that occurred as U.S. troops were leaving. The Nashville school shooter, who killed three children and three adults at the Covenant School in Tennessee in March, left a suicide note behind on her desk and a list of passwords. The LSU women's basketball team says it'll gladly accept an invite to the White House despite a rift between their star player and First Lady Jill Biden. Angel Reese was upset after Jill Biden said she wanted to invite Iowa along with LSU to the White House, even though the Hawkeyes lost. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
I need a tax preparer. How should I choose one?
Using a paid tax preparer this year? Before paying someone to do your taxes, make sure they're qualified. Ask about their fees, experience, and training. Check with a Better Business Bureau. Avoid anyone who promises a higher refund. And review your tax return before you sign it. And make sure your preparer signs it too. For more tips, visit IRS.gov and search Choosing a Preparer.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and you join the show here. You bring up what you want. The number to do that is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Me and Jay and Joa here in the studio tonight. We're going to get back into your phone calls and thoughts. And then on the way, the difficulty of finding young people who are willing to work. We can come back around to that topic because it's actually in the news about how people that are hiring others are looking into the elderly to get their new hires because it's hard as hell to find somebody who's under the age of 35, apparently. We'll figure out more about that coming up here. But Ricky is on the line. Ricky, you wanted to comment on something that was said on a previous show with Mark Edge, who, by the way, is going to be coming back into town. Apparently, he's coming back tonight. He's going to be here for, like, I don't know, a week and a half or something like that. So we're going to get a lot more Mark on the air for a short bit.
All right.
But, Ricky, what was the comment that you wanted to reflect on?
Well, I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit about the participants of the primaries, but then I'm also going to chime in on what I think about the debate with Mark and his point of view about DeSantis as his candidate. So here are the participants. Now, we already know Donald Trump's running. I'm sure he's in all 50. I'm sure he's got the paperwork ready to go and file. But then you got somebody he didn't mention, Nikki Haley. Now, Nikki Haley did publicly announced.
And who is that? Is that the Arizona Republican lady?
No, she was governor of South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. Okay.
All right. But anyways, is she in all 50? Hell if I know. But then now you got Ron DeSantis. Now, the interesting thing about
I don't believe he's filed.
And also, he's not publicly announced. He's still playing the I'm running for president game.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that being said, but then you got Aaron Day. Now, I listened to that whole interview with you and him when he was on. And one thing he did say is he already has the paperwork filed for all 50. Now, one thing
I will say that? Okay, I couldn't remember for sure.
One thing I will say that Mark said, he said about the money. Now, in New Hampshire, it is $1,000. It's also $1,000 to run for president in Pennsylvania. But also, you have to pay a federal fee of $100,000.
What?
Yes, you do. The filing fee... You have to pay a filing fee of $100,000 on top of that.
What?
Regardless how many
just to run in Pennsylvania or just in general?
No, federally, federally.
I don't believe it because I don't believe that that Vermin Supreme, who runs every single presidential election here in New Hampshire, as of you know, he changes his party. He's run as a Republican. He's run as a Democrat. He's run as a Libertarian. But I don't believe Vermin Supreme has $100,000 that he can spend. I mean, he's got some support. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but he's only running in the primary in New Hampshire alone.
Okay, but when do you have to pay the $100,000 to the feds?
Do you file with them or something?
There's probably a cutoff date, just like for running for representative in Pennsylvania, because I had that.
Are you saying that you can run for president in New Hampshire, but the feds aren't going to require you to pay the $100,000 if you do that?
Well, what's going to happen, you're going to be in the primary. The problem is, once you get to the point of the national election, that's when you're going to run into a problem. So it's kind of you're screwed.
So you're saying at some point, if you keep running for president, you have to pay them $100,000?
Well, they probably have a cutoff point before the primaries, most likely.
Because
I know that's the way it was here for representatives.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that were true, but I was just going to say, I don't think everybody pays that. It's certainly not early on in New Hampshire. I mean, that's the nice thing about New Hampshire is it's the first in the nation primary. It's $1,000 to get on the ballot, so pretty much anybody can afford
it. It's kind of like your best chance. If you want
to
run for a top position like these, New Hampshire is the place to be to try to get that.
Right, that's where you get that initial exposure that you hope can get you a win in New Hampshire, which could potentially, propel you to wins in other states.
Especially if you have name recognition. So if you've already been in office here, then all the people that have voted for you already know you, and it seems like you have a better chance of running.
Well, and this is why
it.
The Democrats want to cut off New Hampshire because
the free state is taking over.
Well, and I don't know if that was a factor, but they want to cut off New Hampshire because they don't want their candidates to easily be able to run. They want it to just be Joe Biden. They want no opposition to him, and they want to have their primary in a quote-unquote demographically diverse place like South Carolina instead of New Hampshire. Anyway, Ricky, what else?
All right, I'm going to talk about what my thoughts are, Mark. But one point I will make also is you got to get to the national part of the election. You have to have 1 million signatures, a petition, just like I had to get 400 here for representatives.
I have never heard of these things. I don't. Are you talking about you have to have 1 million signatures, like cumulatively over the various different states that require you to have signatures?
Right, of your own party.
Okay. I don't know if I trust you as an election expert on these matters, Ricky.
Well, it might be both parties. I think it refers to nationally. You know, you got to get 1 million signatures, but for somebody like Trump, it wouldn't be a problem. And probably, you know, whatever. But
usually,
that,
you don't need signatures to get on a ballot in most states where you are a part of the major party. So, like, for instance, here in New Hampshire, you can get on a ballot by using signatures. If you're a Republican or a Democrat, so I know, Jay Noon, you've run for a state rep.
Yep.
You were running as a Republican in that case.
Yep.
So you probably just went down to town hall, paid $2, and got on the ballot, right?
Yep.
You had an option to collect 150 signatures in lieu of paying the $2. So there was an option to get on the ballot with signatures, but it's not a requirement. When you are a major party person, and of course, 150 signatures is a huge amount of time you would have to sink in.
I needed 400, and I didn't get it. I didn't have that option.
What is your comment about Mark Edge, Ricky? I don't want to hear his statistics.
Here's how I see it. Now, I mean, I've talked to Mark so many times. I, at this point, I understand him quite well. And I put myself in his shoes as a Republican conservative, as I know him as. And here's what I'm looking at. You are absolutely right, Ian. He was defending it beyond reality.
Defending DeSantis, you mean? Mark was talking about how he supports DeSantis. But for listeners that
don't,
he did. Yeah, he's sadly
sorry, Mark.
Really sad.
Oh, it's even worse than that, because I look at it the same way you do it. I've watched Ron DeSantis since he came on the scene.
Sure.
Now, here's what I would do if it was me and I was in his place. Nikki Haley's out because of the reason why is when she was running for governor, she was pro-Confederate. She's also the same one who pulled down the Confederate flag from the state house. Screw her. She's out. And then you got Trump. Okay, well, he's what he is. But then you got DeSantis. Now, here's what I would do. Looking at them as a conservative Republican, a legitimate one, I would vote for Joe Biden if I'm going to vote at all.
So you'd write in Joe Biden in the Republican primary?
No, I'm saying for president. I probably,
I thought we were talking about Republican primary.
Hey, I'm a nihilist too.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as the primary, probably I would give a protest vote for Aaron Day.
All right.
Yeah, thank you for the
call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you here. The number is 603-283-6160. I mean, the only reason to vote for somebody like Joe Biden is if you want to, make things worse quickly.
Well,
right?
I mean, that's a strategy. Like, we could, encourage the collapse sooner by voting for Joe Biden.
As long as you don't mind blood on your hands.
Yeah, I guess the most visibly corrupt president probably in my lifetime.
Sure.
When I say visibly corrupt, I mean hands down with the Ukrainian money laundering, with
sniffing little girls.
The fact that
his
daughter Ashley Biden reports in her diary that he's a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've been saying is, I hear the word racism being thrown around a bunch, and you're like, I have a hat that says "Make Taxation Theft Again."
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of weeks ago, I was wearing it, and some girls like, "Are you a racist?" And I go, "Why?" She's because your hat. And she goes, "Oh, I thought it said Make America Great Again." She says to me, she didn't even like read the hat.
The red hat.
Right, it's the hat I got from
it.
From
looks
Luke.
Similar to the
a lot of people went, "Oh yeah, keeping the faith." I'm like, "Oh, what are you talking about? I didn't actually read your hat. They think it's a MAGA hat." Mm-hmm. So I said,
did you point out to him that this is the opposite of racism?
Right. So what I said is, I said, calling somebody a racist because they might support MAGA or Trump. Is basically, then you might as well just call anyone who's going to support Biden a pedophile.
Mm.
So, and I love that Marjorie Taylor Greene came out and, basically said that the Democrats are pedophiles. And I really agree with her because, it's the Democrat, the parasite class Democrats, the ones that are in government, the ones that are in politics, not the sweet old lady who's, working some working a second or third job at the diner, that happens to be a Democrat. They're like very much turned off by all this nonsense. But yeah, this, they even had in little town of Ware, New Hampshire, they had an inclusivity meeting at the Ware Middle School last week from this New Hampshire State College, University of New Hampshire, Durham, people who are just running around to all of the schools in New Hampshire speaking on diversity, equity, and inclusivity. And I didn't have a chance to go to the meeting because I have work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, this is all like just a magnification of every kid gets a trophy for showing up to the T-ball game with this, inclusivity stuff, because you're just included in everything by default instead of having to earn your way, into society and having to make yourself actually of value.
But are you, though? I mean, the guy who, I think you referenced it on the air, there was this guy in Canada who was at some sort of trans event, some kind of protest, and he was a counter-protester. He had a sandwich board signs on him, and he was attacked, apparently, and it from the video footage, it looks like they started it, not
him. Oh, yeah.
And he was attacked, and one of the points I think he or one of his friends made was they're not being very inclusive,
right.
Are they?
No, it's only inclusive to their particular narrative and their cult is what's going on here, the cult of the irresponsible people.
Well, I want to get back into that, but let's go to David. He's on the line in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Yes.
I saw a news article, and I actually posted it on the Social Free Talk Live server. I saw an article from, I think it was either Bitcoin, news.bitcoin.com or CoinDesk, where Marjorie Taylor Greene has now come out against CBDCs.
Hmm. CBDC is the central bank digital currency that is something that a lot of people are predicting is going to come to the United States. It has not yet been officially announced, but it's something they're experimenting with, and they're having a lot of meetings about.
Legislation's all over the world to try to get it passed.
Oh, yeah, and in some places it already is. Nigeria has one. China's, I think, coming soon, or they already have theirs. And the Bahamas, I believe, is working on one. I'm not sure wherever the other ones are, but those are a few of them that are in the works and or already in existence. And, what do you think about that, David? Is she, you know, who's she pandering to there? Do Republicans care about this?
I think actually probably Republicans do care about it, more so than Democrats, because at least they pretend to want freedom, which can't. We all know how that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily trust her. But
Ooh. The
fact that she even said it to begin with, I mean, at least that's a step in the right direction.
She says a lot because
she's a snake.
Marjorie Taylor Greene says a lot of stuff that's pretty darn good. Now, she does, if you look into her, she's definitely has, you know.
She's also an ultra-conservative, and she's in no way a libertarian at all.
And she's got a big construction company, I'm sure, that does a lot of government work, because that's the only way construction companies get big is if they do government work. And, mm-hmm. But she's also someone who's actually worked for a living. Too. You know, she's someone that was in the construction business that got into, she's a contractor. Her father's a contractor. She understands contracts. And this is, how a lot of people do come to the ideas of liberty is they usually get there because they're a contractor and they're studying contracts. And it's like, how does the state get to make me a slave? Did I sign a contract with them? Was where it sort of starts with a lot of these guys. So, but she's definitely got some good stuff. She's definitely one of the least worst politicians as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and, I don't like to give a whole lot of credit to DeSantis, but whenever there's credit to be given to a politician, I will give it to him. And in the case of DeSantis, he did say, this was about a week or 2 weeks ago, that he's backing a bill that is going to prohibit somehow, I don't know how they're going to do this, the use of a federally adopted CBDC as money within the Florida Uniform Commercial Code. Now, what that actually means for, whether or not the CBDC thing would in some way actually not be useful or used in Florida, I don't know. I don't know how much of this is just simply posturing or if it is actually a meaningful bill. So he does get a bonus point for that one.
I wonder, like money exchange places where, you go and if you're coming from a foreign country, what if that country uses the CBDC and you come to Florida and what? I guess they banned the exchange process, so they're essentially isolating themselves a little bit further from the world. I'm not saying CBDC is a good idea.
Well, I don't think he would be able to prohibit other people in other countries from using their own CBDCs.
But when they come to Florida, they have no way to exchange it.
In the airport, they'd have one of those terminals, like you get off your airplane or whatever, and walk up to the terminal and exchange your CBDC for the Florida dollar.
but what, there'll be an exemption from the law in the airport? Is that the deal?
Maybe because it's federal property or something. I don't know.
It probably the state won't be using CBDC. The state won't be banking in CBDC. I also know that some states, I believe DeSantis has removed a whole bunch of, all the state, a bunch of the pensions and financial instruments that are involved in, ESG compliant or, these banks that are like all about their ESG score versus, profits. There was something I had heard about that he was, a few states have done this, and I believe Florida is one of them. But the thing is it's probably just a directive that the state won't be able to use.
Well, it says the Florida Uniform Commercial Code, which is supposed to be the set of rules that all commerce is done by. So corporations, for instance, would be affected by this in theory.
Yep.
And again, I haven't read the bill. I don't know what it actually does.
Yeah, and a corporation is.
Could DeSantis even do that? I mean, because if it's a federal CBDC, would the would the feds just trample all over the states' rights? I don't know.
No, they wouldn't
maybe
do that.
Maybe we'll see Florida secession.
And that does, you know, it does beg the question of what would transpire if this became a showdown between the state of Florida and the federal government. What would actually, you know, what sort of weaponry would come out?
Well, I can see like things like Social Security. So when the federal government pays out Social Security, it's going to be paying out CBDC.
You better believe it will, yeah.
And they're not going to have a choice. What are they going to do? Fight it? You doubt it. But then also you got like the post office that's federal. So what do you got to use CBDC to buy stamps? You know, it's going to get really muddy really quick if they implement this federally.
You're going to have to use CBDC to buy your prepackaged, you know, Monsanto certified, you know,
government cheese,
government gruel, and you know all your stuff and maybe your Walmarts and stuff, but. What this is really going to hurt is the people who haven't been practicing alternative currencies.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is, and who this is really going to benefit is local producers, people like farmers, it's going to people who want to do things. And, you know, the other thing is the black market, kind of like Russia was right before it collapsed. The reason the Russian people didn't really all die off in masses because they have been for years under communism. You had to participate very actively in the alternative economy or the black market economy in order just to get enough calories to survive. And that's what Russian culture was, to where here in America, there's a lot of people who have no idea how to get anything if their card doesn't work. They are basically screwed. You know, if they can't swipe their card, they're not getting groceries because they haven't practiced. So the people who are holding, you know, gold, silver, actual real cryptocurrencies, which not all so-called digital coins are cryptocurrencies as far as I'm concerned. But
I agree.
You know, those people are going to be pretty prepared, and I believe the black market is going to flourish. I could tell you, beef is just selling out everywhere. All the, like farmers I deal with and stuff, they're like, hey, you know, you guys got any extra beef? Cause we kind of like work with some other guys helping each other out. And it's like, nah, we everybody's sold out of everything. And,
go on the dark net and buy toilet paper.
Yeah. That would be interesting, buying toilet paper from the darknet.
David, anything else you want to share tonight?
You probably could have back when toilet paper was going crazy.
Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. I did pull up a story here from Yahoo Finance about the proposal by Ron DeSantis, and it's got some of the tweets that he made about this. So I'll just read a couple of these because, again, credit to him on this one. He's at the very least positioning himself to be against the CBDC, and for the right reasons. He says the movement to establish a central bank digital currency is an attempt to surveil and control the finances of Americans. It would violate privacy, limit consumer choice, and undermine market competitiveness, which, in case somebody believes that he gives a damn about that, all you have to do is look at his actions where he's trying to steal the sovereignty away from Walt Disney, which has had for 60 years its own property in Florida that it has taken complete care of.
But Walt Disney is just a legal fiction. That's a creature that was created by the state. It's just a corporation.
Sure, sure.
It's not like a man, you know,
I get that.
A lot of benefits from
Disney's,
the state.
Disney has obviously passed away at this point, but, you know, typically people incorporate in order to run a business, and Disney had a deal with the state of Florida that they have this particular area, this land mass that they are responsible for. They had to put in the sewage. They had to put it, you know, take care of the firemen or whatever, right? Like, they had to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, they didn't have to pay the same taxes
right.
that others did because they handled the governance of that area.
They did it DeSantis, so well.
Yeah, and DeSantis tried to strip that away from them. So, you know, when he talks about how he's concerned with undermining market competitiveness and limiting choice, he obviously doesn't really care about that. So you can't trust this guy as far as you can throw him. We all know that he absolutely cracked down when it came to COVID in the beginning for months, and then he changed his tune later on and then decided that it was actually going to benefit him politically to go.
And it has.
And it has. And so he's still playing that tune here. He's figured out who his base is, and he's playing to that base. And he's figured out that his base is skeptical, apparently, of CBDCs. I suspect, though, that if Ron DeSantis runs for president and gets elected, that he will embrace the CBDC, that and then he will change his tune, and then he will be in total favor of government,
yeah,
you know, knowing what you do.
And if he's like, so, I like with Ron DeSantis and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, you know, there's a lot of, like, theory out there that I can follow, but it's theory that they understand that there is, like, a pedophile elite controlling everything. They basically have most of the Democrats and a whole bunch of the Republicans in their pocket. You know, there's, like, a deep state cabal. There's a whole bunch of people who basically who want to sexually traumatize young kids so they grow up to be incompetent. They want, you know, basically to limit the population. They're all about, you know,
disarmament.
Yeah, disarming people, the environmental social credit score stuff, all of the just all the woke garbage, all the, like, you know, pushing all this, just, you know, whatever, trans drag sex shows for children, you know, like we talked about Soros, you know, funding these woke DAs. So these guys, you know, there's a theory that these guys are actually fighting back against that battle, which it certainly does look like that from a lot of views and aspects. And you know, I certainly don't think, like, for example, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, you know, Matt Gaetz, and DeSantis, I don't think those guys are pedophiles. I think those guys, you know, are probably very much against that stuff. And there is a, and even Florida, another thing is, I forget what county is right next to, not Florida, but Disney. There's, you know what county Disney's on?
Disney runs through two counties. I believe it is Orange County, which is where Orlando is, and then maybe Osceola County. I'm not sure what the
next one is. So I believe it's Orange County. Every now and then I see these YouTube videos of this sheriff. I think his name's Judd, but I'm not sure. But he's like, well, we arrested a bunch of pedophiles here, and don't you know, this guy works for Disney. How about that? And, you know, he's another one, works for Disney. How about
there are
that?
Thousands of people that work for Disney.
Yeah, there's lots of people.
Obviously,
but,
types of people are attracted to jobs in which they're dealing with children, which is why so many cops turn out to be like that as well.
Yep. FBI agents, cops.
Yeah.
Police chiefs.
but, I mean, these are all still, whether or not they're pedophiles, they're still all arch status. They're still all people that want to tell you how to live your life.
Yep.
And, you know, when this Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about national divorce, we, of course, brought that up. And, you know, she deserves some credit for doing that. But when she was talking about it, she wasn't talking about actual secession. She was talking about some bizarre setup where the red states and the blue states would, quote unquote, separate, but there would still be a federal government. She still wanted a federal military. She still wanted a federal border patrol. She still wanted all the, you know, the police state stuff that she's all about as a, you know, arch statist that she is. And DeSantis, of course, loves the police state.
Oh, so, yeah.
You know, you're not welcome to my money.
Yeah, there's more coming up here. Hour number three is on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.